Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. Let's go. I want to say this first about last night's game. I thought it was a really good game. I thought it was a fun game to watch. I thought there was a lot of back and forth, and I enjoyed the way the Rockets played. Although I didn't enjoy the way it ended, obviously. But I will say that I think that at least it was a, you know, the Rockets are fun to watch. And they're going to win this series. They're going to win. They're going to come back home, and they're going to win this series because the home team has won every game.
You thought that was fun to watch with 22 turnovers?
Yeah, I thought it was. I thought it was a good. Yeah, I thought it was fun. I thought it was a fun game. I thought
it was gross.
You did?
Both teams turned over like crazy. To me, yeah, it was like watching a bad 1 hour, you know, sitcom versus a really good 2.5 hour Oscar award winning movie, which is what you want to be if you want to win a championship.
Yeah, not to me. Not to me. I thought it was.
I hate turnovers.
Yeah. Well, welcome to. What do you mean?
No. 22 is a ton. 22 is a ton. I thought it was a poorly played game.
And especially, no, I thought it was a fun. I thought it was entertaining. But as opposed to what I've been watching in the bubble of late. It's been really, really boring, and it's been lopsided games, and it hasn't been.
Well, there's some great individual plays. I will say that.
Chris Paul stepping up at the end.
I respected that.
I did too.
Chris Paul. There's just a level of respect. I've told this before, but I was lucky enough to sit in on a lunch with, and Chris Paul was there. Was one of the people there speaking. And it was a group of about 7 people who were, you know, just kind of giving advice to Jarrett Stidham, who about whether he's going to come back to school or go. And he ended up going back to school, Auburn. And listening to Chris Paul, it was the first time I had a chance to be around Chris Paul, I was just blown away. I mean, I was absolutely blown away by what he had to say, what he was telling Stidham about leadership as a player. And if you're not ready to take on the responsibility of helping a 32-year-old man with his last chance to win in the playoffs. And I mean, the things that he said, it just blew me away. And ever since that, and I had respect for him as a player anyway, but after that, I just realized, I mean, he's just different. And at that time, he was perfect for the Rockets. Perfect for the Rockets, because that's what they needed. For all of James's great play, he doesn't have that CEO executive, you know, in charge of everything type of demeanor. That's not who he is. That's who Chris Paul is. And people say what they want about Chris Paul, but those kind of things are needed on teams. And you could see at the end of the game this should not be 3-3. We should not be going to a game 7. Well, the Rockets are the better team.
It shouldn't have been 2-2. It shouldn't have been. It should have been 2-1. It should have been 3-0.
Right.
I mean, they just collapsed. They collapsed in game 4 as well.
They can't finish. And one of the reasons it's ironic because Chris Paul has a reputation for not winning, you know, big in the playoffs. But one of the reasons that Oklahoma City has performed better than their talent on their roster is because Chris Paul helps them close out. And Dennis Schroeder, and they're the best in the league at closing out in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Schroeder. You did see it yesterday.
Yeah, Schroeder wasn't all that. I mean, it was Chris Paul. I mean, they just showed a stat of in crunch time. Chris Paul was 5-for-7. James and Russ were 3-for-11. James and Russ had 3 turnovers. Chris Paul had none. Chris Paul just outplayed both of those guys down the stretch in crunch time, you know, throwing the ball away. Goodness gracious. Crazy Russ came back. Crazy Russ was out there and in the most important time with plenty of time left on the clock to throw that ball away.
Why was he going 100 miles an hour down the court?
And just flip it, just throw it back to Covington. And you would think that against Oklahoma City that he would be more focused and more, just so serious about winning that game and beating that team and not making crazy mistakes. Yeah, Crazy Russ had 7 turnovers. Crazy Russ was out of control at times. But what I'm saying about the game was the back and forth, the style of play as opposed to old Rockets, just stand. They were moving. They were driving to the hole. Obviously they didn't score nearly as – and they didn't shoot as nearly as well as they need to. Hey, listen, when the Rockets shoot – the Rockets aren't that good a shooting team. They're just not. They're not that good a shooting team, and it showed. They shot 34% from three, which is okay, which is about average. That's fine. But in crunch time, they don't have the nuts. They don't have what they have to have to win games. And Oklahoma City does.
Again,
you know, Chris Paul doesn't win in the postseason, but in Oklahoma City, he has got something. They do something. Because they're the best team in the league in crunch time. Best.
And you'd say that makes no sense except for the fact that they've got guys who are veterans like Gallinari, like Chris Paul. I tell you what, Gallinari also has been just a monster for that team at different times because they don't have much scoring. We all knew the game was completely over when Schroeder got kicked out of the game the other day because they just don't have much. But, you know, what's interesting is if it's not been made clear to you by now, I don't know what else is needed. The Rockets, when they're playing well and they get a lead, can be a great front-running team, can be really fun, and can be hard to beat when they're a front-running team. But like you said, this is not this year. This is not this year and last year. This is every year. If it gets to nut-cutting time against a team with some mental fortitude, they will come up on the short end of things in elimination games more times than not. And that's just the way it is. They just don't have the sack to bring it home in clutch times. Now, the other minutes that they're playing, that's fine. But, you know, James doesn't really want it late. He just doesn't really want it late. And that's not a cheap shot. That's just watch basketball. Yeah. Just watch him. He doesn't have the demeanor on the court, give me the ball, give me the ball. Yesterday, Mike D'Antoni, we'll see if we can find the audio. I was watching a post-game show, and they went to Mike D'Antoni on the, you know, whatever it is, in the interview room, in the interview closet, and he said, well, that was James and Russ, you know, they were comfortable with that, and he said something about a switch, and they wanted to do that, so that's what we did. Meaning James and Russ wanted to do that. Russ
runs down the court and throws the ball
down, and then they would try to get it back out to James in some way. I don't want to hear about James's 11 for 22. I don't want to hear about his rebounds or his assists. I don't need box score scouts. Tell me how he does when it's time to win. How do you do when it's time to win? Honestly, with the great players, that's really all I – at the end of the day, I take for granted the 82-game schedule. You're supposed to be great at that. This is why you reached the level of max dollar player. This is why you're a superstar. I already know you're going to be really good there. I already know you're going to have good – you know, I already know you're going to fill up a stat sheet. There's no question about that. You're a superstar. Of course you're going to fill up a stat sheet. How do you do when you have to say, get on my back, boys. Let's go for a ride. How do you do – and I've just seen too much from James that I just the excuse making for this many years is just so old. Now he's got a game 7 coming up.
Yeah,
and they may end up driving Oklahoma City. It may be a 17-point win.
Yeah,
and that's what they're comfortable with. Don't let it be a 2-point game though with 2 minutes to go.
No, because Oklahoma City's they're just better at it.
James is nervous, and Russ is just a lunatic.
So, Dell, where did you get – where was that Twitter video you sent us?
From Chris Vernon. He does a show in Memphis radio show, and he also
used to be on with Sean and John all the time.
Does podcasts for The Ringer, their NBA podcast.
He did Colonel Reb is Crying.
Oh, he did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he did?
That's his song,
That's Chris Vernon. He put out a video of the three possessions late in the game where it looked like James was shadowing the defender. It looked like James was trying to, hey, where are you going? I'll go with you. Where are you going? So, hey, I mean, James, his effort to get the basketball late in that game was not in the air ball. Now, James was heroic because he knocked the ball off of Gallinari, but James was actually standing there and really literally doing literally nothing and not trying to get. But his demeanor late was what did it say? How this just proves that James, I mean, it is indefensible or whatever it was of James late in the game and his. And how much he wants it, and how much he wants the basketball, and it is pretty damning. It's Chris at Chris Vernon. What is it? What is his Twitter handle?
At Chris Vernon Show.
It's
about 30 plus seconds, three clips spliced together of the final couple possessions. Well, not all, couple, but final possessions in the game or so, where it's Russ initiating offense and James,
which doesn't happen most of the game.
No,
by the way.
Well, and Chris Vernon also wrote. Harden doesn't want the ball, Russ does, so he will decide close games, and he sure did tonight.
Remember, this is when that game was over, all I could think about was the conversations we had almost 7 years ago, which means back in last October, when we were talking about, boy, this trade is a concern, because who's going to have the ball late? You don't want Russ to have the ball late. You want James to have the ball late. So who's going to have the ball late? Who's going to be making the decisions? And that was the big concern when you bring Russ in. And then for much of the year, it's like, okay, well, Russ will kind of take a little bit of a back seat. But then all of a sudden, when you need it most, here's this inefficient turnover machine handling the ball. What? Mr. Turnover is going to handle the ball and crunch?
In the half court, which is Russ's thing.
That's not what he does.
Here is to push the pace and get easy looks and drive and kick out the guys. But in the half court where defenses are set late in games, that's supposed to be James' time.
Well, and James, you want to know, he walked up the court with 1:35 left and stood just like 5 feet from half court and just stood there and watched Russ and threw the ball around, and James didn't even try to get loose. And then on the Russ air ball, he's shadowing the defender.
I think on that one, I'll give him a little bail. He's trying to set some type of roving screen, which probably should be called as a foul on him because he continues to body the defender. But he's trying to get Russ free, and of course he got Russ free, and it resulted in like a 18-foot air ball.
But how about a little move? What kind of effort was that? It was
screen, it's a foul. No, whatever.
It's not James' fault that they lost the game. But you can't say it's James' fault. I mean, we blame James for everything. We really do. Russ threw the ball away. Russ dribbled the ball away.
Yeah.
Russ let Schroeder right by him. And James just stood there, by the way.
But James should not be. James just shouldn't let this happen. He's got enough. He's got enough stroke to get guys kicked off the team.
Yeah.
He's got enough guys to get guys kicked out of the coaching position. He should have enough juice to say, I get the ball late. How do you have all that juice? Well,
Look, he's
take the ball.
He's walking up the. Oh my gosh. He just doesn't. It's like. He just doesn't. He's standing next to the logo the whole possession. He's standing by the logo when Russ dribbles the ball away with a minute 23 to play. That is just terrible. It's just now. But again, it's not James' fault that they lost. But it's you can put it on him that they didn't win. I mean, he did not. And the James truthers and the James defenders, this is unfair. Maybe it is a little bit unfair because he did have a good game.
Yep.
He shot the ball well. He did enough, I guess, to get them into a position to win.
For the first 46.
But in the last 2 minutes, boy, did he disappear.
What do closers get paid for in baseball? No. Don't tell me how you do when you're up five. You know, you gotta close games.
I don't know how you look at the two games yesterday and not see the difference.
With Jimmy Butler?
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler said,
stark contrast.
Jimmy, he's not even a guy who shoots as much as James. He's actually more a facilitator this year, but he said, I'm taking these, and he told his team, I'm not passing the ball. This is just how it's going to go today because I'm feeling good. And shot after shot after shot, possession after possession after possession, he made plays, and he hit jumpers, and he put that game away. Yep. And no, I'm not going to blame James for the loss, but you would like to see that type of mentality from him.
I don't think you had to go that far. You just look across Chris the court Paul. To Chris Paul.
The Rockets won at Jimmy Butler before this season started. They acquired Chris Paul for those reasons. You saw the two guys who they had either got or wanted do things last night, and James didn't.
Yep. Let's talk a little bit. It's no jab at James, but we'll have more on this on the other side. Anybody wants to get in, 713-780-3776.
Hey, let's talk about site jab. You know, for those of you who have had a website for years and years, but you look at it now and you know that it's not really as good as the other companies out there, and worse yet, maybe it's not as good as your competitors, you don't have to just settle for that just because the guy in your office made the website and you know he's not really capable of making a more updated website. SiteJab is here for you. 2 decades in the Houston area of building out websites. And I'm talking about from scratch. They can make you a scratch-made website it takes generally 3 to 6 weeks, or they can remodel what you already have. But the most important thing is they understand the different mechanisms used to get that consumer to stay on your website longer, to put the information in front of them that they need to make decisions. So if you're a small to medium-sized business, you know, those eyes, instead of those eyes being there for just a few seconds and then gone, they stay longer and they become potential business leads that you can make money with. And that's, you know, that's what it's all about, is having a website that helps to bolster your chances of doing business. And that's what SiteJab can do for you. You can go to the website, check out their portfolio, check out all their business that they can help you with, all the different things that they do for you, and you're going to find that they make a huge difference. Go to SiteJab.com, SiteJab.com. That's SiteJab.com.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
A lot of my teammates, Dennis Schroeder is a dog. Is a dog. I go down, play against anybody with him any day. And our team, man, you know, when it gets to clutch time, fourth quarter, some people built for it. Some people shy away from it. You know, you saw Dame, all that stuff. Like, some people built for it, man, and we're going to keep hooping.
Well, some people are built for it and some people shy away.
Whoa.
I know what we need to do.
Whoa. James, what do we need? What do you guys need to do to advance to the next? I know what we need to do. I know what needs to be done. Yeah, get rid of
clutch guy. The Rockets are going to win this series. But let's make no mistake about it. I mean, I think they're proven in this series that they're just an average team. This is not a great Oklahoma City team. It's a good team. It's a team that, you know what? What's happening is exactly what we feared, is that this was going to be a really, really tough series. It's turned into a really tough series when it really shouldn't be, when the Rockets have outplayed them practically the entire series and they're tied at 3. But this Rockets team is just... This small ball is, it's a gimmick. It's this whole thing is a gimmick. This is not a basketball team that has championship caliber. It's just not. It's just not.
It's first of all, it's not championship. Yeah, I mean, when Steven Adams, when in the midst of a broadcast, when this is said, well, you know, Steven Adams can score anytime he wants to against the Rockets. you can't win a championship if any broadcaster can ever say Steven Adams can score anytime he wants.
What are they going to say about AD and LeBron?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
goodness, if Steven Adams can score,
they say,
it well.
All you got to do is throw it up, and Steven Adams, so if you don't make it, he'll get the rebound. It's just so clear. Anybody who gets in the lane, I don't know the last time I saw Daniel House blocked a shot yesterday, but there are so few rim challenges.
Yeah, Covington. I think Covington had a block.
Covington had one. Daniel House had
three.
One.
Covington had three.
He had three blocks.
Yeah.
But there's just so few. It's just such limits. No one fears any rim challenge from the bigs. And I get what Daryl Morey's trying to do. He's trying to make it easier for Russ because Russ, you know, such a lunatic offensively.
It's so funny, though. You're playing against, you see, these are the guys. Gallinari, I mean, I know I've been going through this, but when he was a free agent in the offseason, I was like, that's the guy you need here. That's the guy when you, boy, you want to talk about nuts. And and when he got hot, when he got hot, boy, you know what they did? You know what Chris Paul couldn't do enough? Feed him.
Feed
at the end of the game,
yeah.
When Chris Paul, you know what they did? They set screens. They got Chris Paul. Here, take the ball, Chris. Mm-hmm. You're hot. I don't give a rat's ass where you shoot from.
Yep.
He was 5 of 7 at the end of the game. Good. I mean, That's just smart. That's just smart. And the Rockets are running around throwing the ball away.
Back to how they're built. Let's not allow the James and Westbrook conversation to make us forget about the rightful Eric Gordon slander.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The fact that we...
What did I tweet? What did I text you guys during the game? What the... Is Gordon doing?
It's gotten to the point now. So me and my kids will play this game where wherever you get the rebound, you know, wherever you get it, anywhere on the driveway or whatever, you have to shoot it from there. Eric Gordon looks like he's playing a game where wherever he catches the pass, that's where he's shooting from. It doesn't matter. He can be 36 feet out. It doesn't matter. And he always leaves it short. You know why? Because that's too long a shot. Eric Gordon is shooting 17% from three this series. He has been...
It's his season. He's been terrible.
When he gets to the rim, he's had... Although yesterday wasn't that
okay,
day.
And then didn't we say this before? If Eric Gordon is your third best player... How good are you? How good are you if Eric Gordon's your third best player? By the way, when he's driving to the hole, man, he's finishing. He does finish well around the basket. He's doing a nice job. But then he just takes shots. You're like, what the?
Just too inconsistent right now.
What the are you doing?
Eric Gordon has to be a guy that when he's open, he knocks it down. I mean, he has to be a knockdown shooter.
Well,
that's
not
who he's supposed
he's not
to
a
be.
Knockdown shooter, though.
But he has been in his career.
In his career?
Right now, he's not. And I don't know if it's a lift problem or what. I think it's a shooting too far problem. I think he's gotten gassed up by the bubble threes, which all of a sudden are LeBron's doing it. James has done it. Dame did it, where they're shooting from, you know, 35 feet. Eric Gordon's got gassed up like, I do this in practice all the time. I don't care what you do, but Eric. Shoot from with your toe right against the line.
Well, look at his three-point percentage, though. From New Orleans in 2013, 39%, 44%, almost 45, 38, 37, 35, 36. This year, 31.
I know. Those other percentages are fine.
League average
is 34 and a half.
Right. Well, he's 44, 38, 37, 36, right. 36. And this year, no, he has been bad. He's been bad, and he's especially bad now. I mean, all that time that he missed, you know, in the bubble that he couldn't play, and coming back, and you're relying on that dude to be knocking down shots. Hell with it. Give it to House and give it to Covington and give him PJ. You know, PJ will knock down a shot every once in a while from the corner. That's fine. But Eric Gordon from where he's shooting from. I mean, he thinks he's Teflon. He really does. It's just terrible. PJ was 3 of 7. Covington was 4 of 6 from three. James 3 for 11, and Eric Gordon 1 for 6. That it's just stop shooting. You know what? He's Dort.
Eric Dorton. Somebody called him Eric Dorton.
I was so embarrassing. I was
so disrespectful.
He got outscored by Dort, by the way.
I know. Dort had a couple big threes.
Wow. At the worst shooter on the floor, he got outscored by.
Well, Dort!
Dort had that.
Dort! Dort!
The Rockets, what did the Rockets go by 7 or 6, and Dort broke off 8 straight points to kind of get the going again?
Yeah.
And then Eric Dorton couldn't do anything.
But I loved it. The first possession that they had, Dort had it on the... On the wing, a three-point look. Nope. What'd he do? He drove to the basket. You know why? I'm not shooting that. I'm not doing that. I know what they're trying to do. Right. Dort finally figured it out. I know what you guys are trying to do.
Wait a minute.
Wait a
minute. Are you making me shoot?
Hold on a
That's
second.
That's right, Dort.
Just a second here. 726
ESPN. Son of a dirty.
I know what you guys are trying to
do. Son of a rascal.
Can't fool me anymore. Leaving me
you're
wide
gonna
open.
You're not going to have Lou Dort to kick around anymore. How about Eric Dort?
Eric Dorton was the worst thing I saw on Twitter.
Eric Dorton.
I was like, oh my God, this is so accurate.
This is terrible. All right, 727 ESPN 97.5. Time to talk about HRMP. 281-880-6525. That's the number to our guys. That's the number to call when because you need help. If you needed help with your experience during the pandemic has been less than stellar with your payroll company, if they haven't been able to answer your questions, if they haven't been able to help you get that SBA loan, if they haven't helped you out with the unemployment claims, if they haven't helped you out with the PPP, if they haven't helped you with get your business through all of this, then you should go with ours because ours, that's exactly what ours does. Oh, and in the meantime, we had taxes with the Affordable Care Act and all of the tax implications that are happening during this pandemic. Did your payroll company get you through that? Because if they didn't, then you go with ours because ours, it doesn't matter how big your business is. It doesn't matter if your business has branches in other states, in other countries. It doesn't matter. HRNP will help you get through this. So give them a call, 281-880-6525, or go to hrp.net. You can learn everything there. hrp.net.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I mean, a lot of the mistakes we made in close games have been on us, to be honest. If you watch the turnover on my part, some turnovers, a turnover in, I think, 2 games ago with Eric. So it's kind of been on us, to be completely honest. And that's a fix that we got to be able to. To do
the closing
game
up. The turnovers are on them?
Yeah.
The turnovers are on them.
They're the ones causing their own issues.
They're going to own the turnovers?
Yeah. What he said was, we got to fix it because really, we are the ones screwing up late as opposed to them making us screw up.
No, well, or them making plays. They make plays too.
Well, that's not what he said.
No, but they did. And Chris Paul's quote was, some guys are built for it?
Yes.
Chris Paul, you throwing a little shade? What day yes. is today? Throw Shade Tuesday.
Or it's Throw Shade Monday when he said it. Yes, he is taking a shot. Yes.
Some guys are built for nut-cutting time, and some guys aren't.
Built for it, some guys shy away from it is exactly what he said. Yeah. Shy away from it is a direct hit on you-know-who. That's who he took a shot at.
I would be careful. There's still a game 7.
Yeah, and the Rockets have the better team.
They're better. They're going to win.
Well, Chris has.
The Rockets are going to win, but make no mistake about it.
Unless they're feeding the ball down to the unstoppable Steven Adams.
Well, Chris Paul has firsthand knowledge of, he didn't play particularly well in game 6 last year, but he saw what when he was off the floor against the Warriors in 18 that I wasn't there, and look what happened. So, I mean, if he's a guy who's going to take that shot, he would probably know James better than anyone commenting on it, that, hey, when I wasn't around to put you on my back to take a 3-2 series lead, what happened in game 6 and 7 when I wasn't there?
Ooh. And if they do win the series, Chris, oh, my goodness. Chris, listen, and – it's scoreboard. That's all it is. It's scoreboard. Chris Paul has a point. He really does. When he was there, they were up 3-2, and then he went away, and they went 0-27 and blew halftime leads in both games. And then if he beats them with this Oklahoma City team, an Oklahoma City team that, let's face it, Billy Donovan could, well, he was co, wasn't Billy Donovan co coach of the year by the coaches? Was it Donovan and Nurse that won co-coach of the year?
I think so.
I think it was. And you know what? Deservedly so. This Oklahoma City team is much better. This was supposed to be a lottery team.
People thought they would trade Chris Paul before the year.
Yeah.
Before the season started or in the middle of the year as things were going to go poorly, and they have not.
I mean, is this a perfect storm? Is this Vince Young running it in from 40 yards out in the first game that he played against the Texans?
God.
Remember that? Is this the perfect storm right now?
Who survives this? If Chris Paul and the Thunder beat this Rocket team, we know D'Antoni's not surviving.
D'Antoni doesn't survive it.
I don't know. I mean, it'll be a typical Daryl roster flip, you know, just reshuffle the cards. I mean, they love Eric Gordon for his potential of what they...
He's 30-plus years old. I know. Potential.
Well, Rockets have started trending older. Let's be honest here. P.J. Tucker, James Harden has got a lot of – there's a lot of wear and tear on James Harden that's developing. Russ Harden, a lot of wear and tear. P.J., older. Eric Gordon, wear and tear. This is a wear and tear team. And then you go outside of that, Robert Covington, he's a guy on any roster that would be the seventh man, really. Seventh or eighth man on any roster.
Well, on any good team. I mean, any. Covington is a starter on most every NBA team.
I think Covington is, for the roster you want to build, he would be like the seventh man.
Well, for a championship team, yeah.
Yeah, well, should always be looking at your roster as what do we want our roster look like.
So, but what happened to D'Antoni with the extended bench? McLemore got 4 minutes. Austin Rivers got 12 minutes. Jeff Green, 18 minutes. It's basically a six-man rotation, though. Daniel House got time. He played pretty
Daniel
well.
Daniel House has played so much better this year.
Yeah.
Defensively.
But Jeff Green has played well.
Yeah.
Up until last night, he was 1-for-5. But Jeff Green, you need that size in there. Oh, by the way, that's a guy that has given you some size.
I guess McLemore just lost his time because of Russ.
Jeff Green, in 18 minutes, had 7 rebounds.
So do the Rockets look better with Russ out there or not? You got 1-1. One game was good. But not that Russ was really all that good in that game, but, he's rusty. And
so you had...
I don't know. I don't know if they're a better team. I felt like they were a more cohesive team who knew their roles.
Well, Russ knows his role. I mean, again, he only took 2 3-pointers. He hit one of them. That was good. He grabbed a few rebounds. 3 assists and 7 turnovers is just... It's just abomination. That's just terrible. But what happened to this deep rotation that Mike? Remember, Mike D'Antoni was going to remember.
Well, they played.
I remember.
How many guys did they play?
Remember,
they played 9, right?
They 4 minutes.
Hey, you can't.
Four minutes ain't playing 9.
It wasn't 7.
That ain't 9.
It wasn't 7.
No, it's basically 7. Austin Rivers got 12 minutes.
Well, 12 minutes in a playoff game for a guy, they could be big minutes. Particularly when your backcourt is filled with 2 former MVPs. So I get Austin Rivers is not going to get a lot of time. But Russ is probably going to be right around there for Austin Rivers again because Russ is on a minutes restriction. He even said it yesterday that expect a minutes restriction game 7 for him. So he'll be in that 27-minute range. So you'll see Austin Rivers for that 12 to 14-minute thing. I mean, until they figure out if Russ is fully healthy or
They're just not good. They're just not good enough. They're just not good enough.
Well, yeah, they're finished in that particular seed because that's who they are.
Yeah.
They should be in a this is a 4-5 matchup. They should be in a 7-game series. Mm-hmm. This is who they are. This is what they proved all year long. They're inconsistent. And if I look, John, you said it multiple times today, the Rockets are going to win the series. Yeah. If it's a non-competitive game, if it gets in the fourth quarter and it's close, I'm not trusting this team to win a game.
No, well, they've proven in this series that they don't win close games. They just don't. They're just not going to beat this team in a close game. I'd be interested to see if the Astros play tonight. You remember after COVID hit Philadelphia, after the Marlins were there and they had it, that the Yankees didn't go there?
Well, the Astros, as of yesterday, were still in isolation. Do we have any update?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they play tonight, and whether or not the Rangers want to be in that locker room.
Well, they steamed it and deep
cleaned
it.
Yeah, I understand. They may take an extra day.
But there was no positives for Oakland, so why wouldn't you play?
Well, there was a positive.
No, I thought yesterday they were all clear.
Yeah, but by the way, they tested them the day after there's a incubation period. You know what? They need to test them again in a couple of days. Test them all in a couple of days. But neither here nor there. If there is, remember in Philadelphia when the Marlins had it, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they don't play tonight and they play a 7-inning doubleheader. I was listening to Charlie and Joel yesterday, and they were talking about 7-inning doubleheaders.
I love it for the Astros.
Well, right, because of the bullpen.
You just kind of limit. Yeah, you just kind of shave it down a little bit.
Well, Charlie calls it, you know, it's gimmicky and it's not real baseball. It's a 7-inning game. It's not real.
Mm-hmm. Charlie is baseball purist. He's not going to like any of these. Let me guess. He's not a big fan of throw the man on second base to start the extra innings.
I don't know that. I didn't
know. No way
that.
He likes it.
No, probably not. Probably not.
Charlie doesn't like it. -500. Which side do you want?
I'm -500. Yeah. I'm taking the favorite. I like it. I we talked about it yesterday probably. That you're not getting any doubleheaders ever. So making this 7-inning doubleheaders is just he was like, "Oh, your starter goes 6 innings and then you got 1 inning of relief." Yeah. That's great. That's great for the Astros. That's what we need.
Yeah.
We need
fuel. What problem?
Oh, yes.
What part of that doesn't sound favorable for the Astros?
Oh, less Davinsky? Okay.
Which part do you not like? What?
Yes. Yes. Less Biagini? Yes. Perfect. Perfect.
While we're talking about Astros pitching, do you want to see a headline that might make you feel really, really good for a short amount of time? Was signing Gerrit Cole to record contract a mistake? Because he hasn't pitched too well the last couple games. He's given up 12 home runs, which is a AL best or worst, depending on how you want to look at it.
Well, maybe they should have signed Strami along with him.
Now, he wasn't great in his first 8 starts last year. He actually turned it on afterwards.
Yeah, I'm not worried about
that. But a little comfort. Gerrit Cole's not doing great.
And by the way, guess who's on the IL? Judge and Stanton.
Well,
it's what they do.
That's what they are.
It's what they do. I mean, those two can't stay healthy for 3 weeks. It's Giancarlo Fuller. He's always hurt. Always hurt. All those stirrups. I mean, all those.
What? What'd you say?
Stirrups. All those stirrups, you know, pulling those socks up.
That hurts him? Is he got a hamstring issue?
Yes.
What's going on?
Yes. The stirrup.
Stirrups, huh?
Yeah. The stirrups he's got to put on.
Stirrups, huh? Stirrups.
Stirrups?
Yeah, the stirrups. Yeah, it's not easy. It's going to be difficult staying healthy pulling those up.
Stop
all
being
the time.
So flagrant.
Yeah. Yeah.
With your stirrups.
Maybe stirrups. Stop putting stirrups on. He's always getting hurt.
You say stirrups, I say stirrups.
I've never heard it. I've never heard stirrups.
Okay. We don't even say stirrups anymore.
Well, that's what they are. Okay. So guess what? This Yankee team, and they're going to lose again, but it's going to be the Astros' fault.
Somebody.
Did That's what it's the Astros'
Cole,
fault.
Already John Boy's complaining about Gerrit Cole. And like, what? Come on, Cole! Shouldn't have cut his hair. I tried to tell you, John. Mm-hmm.
The hair
Gerrit Cole
back.
Looked like Superman?
No, the hair grew back.
A lot of it has grown back, actually. Although now Lance McCullers said, I'll be taking that hair. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And so Lance took his hair. But the Rays beat Cole again, because that's what the Rays do is beat Cole this year. For the season, he's 4-2 with a 3.91. His whip is 11.02. It's just not as good as he was last year.
Well, he did.
But at least you get to pay 4 times the amount of money. And his strikeout per 9 is down. His whip is down. Everything is down. And his hits per innings pitch is down. Everything's down. And he's like, come on. John Boy said something about the home runs, and Bill, what's his name? Bill, what does he go by? Bill O'Zimmerman, but, you know, goes by Reliant or whatever. He said, maybe they're using buzzers. Maybe the Rays are using the buzzers. Mm-hmm.
Maybe they are.
Come on, John. Come on. Cole, what the hell? The home run to deep center, the home run to... Maybe they're using buzzers. Who knows what the Rays are doing? Have you looked at their shirts? Have you circled anything on shirts?
Hmm.
There's a chance that any of those folds in the shirts could be a buzzer. Just saying.
You don't know. You don't know.
Buzzers is what beats the Yankees.
You don't know.
Buzzers.
Give me the VIN.com. John Clay Wolf. John Clay Wolf is the best car buyer in the history of car buying. Dude is ready to buy your car. He bought mine. Well, someday he'll buy it as soon as I get that title thing. He's joining us right now on ESPN 97.5. What's going on, man?
Just getting ready for the big day, you know.
Is it auction day?
No, tomorrow's auction day, but today's prep day. And as you can imagine, you've seen them getting ready for the Motley Crue concerts back in 85. That's what we do on Tuesday.
I've never seen them get ready for the Motley Crue, but okay. The concerts. So you got to prep all the cars, make them look beautiful, and then sell them tomorrow. How many you got on sale tomorrow?
720.
Wow, is that a record?
No, we sold 711 about a month ago. So tomorrow we'll probably sell. We have 720 numbered. 20 of them will fall out tonight, whether or not ready when they go through final inspection. Anyway, I bet tomorrow we'll sell 650, 660.
Nice, nice.
You never saw the Home Sweet Home video?
No, I never saw it. No. Del loves Motley Crue. I would imagine you saw it, right, Del?
Yeah, I mean.
I just assume he meant.
Are you a Satanist?
I just assume he meant getting ready for the Motley Crue video meant snorting coke. That's what I think.
Oh, that's what they do to get ready for this?
I assume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, if you want to sell your car, because John Clay Wolf, trust me, this guy does it better than anybody. He will give you more than anybody. Otherwise, he's going to give you $100. If you can't beat CarMax's offer, he's going to send you $100. And Zane here says once, the entire time he's been with you, that's only one time has he ever sent out a check for $100. That's something.
Yeah, I mean, we mean it when we say it on that guarantee, that price guarantee, that we just never let him beat us. I mean, it just gets down to pure ego at some point. You're like, no, I will lose money before I let them beat me.
Yep, that's it. That's John Clay Wolf right here on ESPN 97.5. He's 48 years old, and let him buy your car at GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. We got a tweet here from Jacob. Talk about Texans plus 10 against the Chiefs. Disrespectful. I say to the odds makers, good day, sir. Dude, really? You really think that's disrespectful?
I mean, it is a lot of points.
It's a lot of points. It's the champs.
But you don't think the Texans are going to get blown out?
No, I don't. Let's not forget, the last time we saw these two teams play, it was a 20-point game.
And had the Texans gotten markedly better, do you think?
The Texans did not get better. They actually got... Well, it's arguable. I think that they are going to be a better offense. I will say that. But a lot of people don't. I mean, and that's where you come up with, okay, you lose DeAndre Hopkins, which was a third of every catch went to DeAndre Hopkins. Third of every completion.
George, you also lost Carlos Hyde.
Yeah.
I mean, Carlos Hyde was rock steady last year.
You didn't want to pay $5 million. You wanted to pay $13 million for a guy who hadn't done anything since 2016.
Do you even know what the amount of money actually is? It's not even $13 million. You don't even know.
Yeah, it is $13. No, it's actually $13.
That's not according to other people.
No, it's $13.
Not according to people who know the contract.
No, because as soon as he plays a game, it vests next March.
They say it's under 10.
It's not under 10.
The real contract. You're not looking at real contract. You're looking at spot track.
No, I'm looking at what Bill Barnwell wrote. His contract.
Bill Barnwell wrote.
Yeah.
All I can tell you is they don't say it's that much. Okay. They say it's not that much.
Okay. All right. But they also said that, boy, DeAndre Hopkins, you have to trade him because otherwise Because they got better. Contract demands.
They got better.
Because of contract demands.
They got better on offense.
But, you know, and you get less for a guy who's got three years left on his deal as opposed to a Laramie Tunsil.
There's definitely no
You got to give up two first rounders when you got a contract coming up.
You sure they got better on offense? I don't know that for a fact at all. I think two of the most important guys on that offense.
No one knows it for, until we
play
it up.
Two of the most important guys on offense were Carlos Hyde and DeAndre Hopkins, and they're gone. I can't guarantee that you're better on offense just because you threw some names
into the lineup that people know. Your right tackle is back, so you're better there. I think if you get Deshaun away from his whoobie, then you might be better.
I think having
Deshaun starts distributing the football.
I think you still have a hole at right guard. Your left guard should be better his second year in the league.
You just extended him. What do you mean you hold it right guard?
That's and he'll get hurt, and that's an issue.
Okay.
Your right guard has to be fixed. You're very, very average at center. Your left guard is a plus, and he's getting better. Your right tackle, that's a huge plus getting him back. You have names more names at wide receiver.
Right.
We'll see. I didn't think
you got more options than you
had. I actually thought the Houston Texans offense was pretty good. When Will Fuller was on the field. When Will Fuller's on the field, he unlocks everything. But it's the same issue this year that it was last year, only with no DeAndre Hopkins, which is a concern for me. Because Randall Cobb, you can get his catches, but do you make up for his impact? Deshaun Watson knew when he needed a play, he could go to New Hopkins. You look at it from an offensive standpoint, Bill O'Brien has said the best offensive unit, without question, maybe the best unit has been the tight ends in camp. He loves the tight ends. That's a real positive sign to me, because I don't know if you can count on Randall Cobb as much, but I do think that Jordan Akins, who is a big fast, who's a fast tight end, has some potential. They've said Jordan Thomas lost 20 pounds and that he is looking really good. 20-pound loss, and he's reshaping his body. Because I remember when he was a big wide receiver at Mississippi State, it was just kind of a freak show out there. He just looked enormous to be a wide receiver.
Is he still going to be able to handle?
Kali Warren is learning.
Guys off the edge, and is he still going to be able to?
I don't know.
Run block.
I don't know how they're going to use him. Yeah, I would assume. Yeah, I think just because you reshape your body.
Well, losing 20 pounds, though, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know how much they'll ask him to do it.
I don't know how much
Darren Fells wasn't on the team.
How much is he going to be on the field anyway with Akins and Fells? And
well, Darren Fells wasn't on the team whenever they asked him to do that, was he? Two years ago.
Darren Fells, I don't think.
Just last year. Was Fells last year was the first year, or was it two
I think
years
last
ago?
Year was the first year.
So Fells is the Y. Kahale Waring is a Y. Both of those guys can play the Y. Jordan Thomas probably isn't going to have to. I didn't think he's a good blocker anyway in college, but I thought he hung in okay his first year, to be honest with you. Akins is not, I don't think, much of a blocker, but I like the potential of the tight end position. I think the offense could be more consistent. They could be more consistent. It still is going to revolve around Deshaun Watson and his consistency and comfort, getting the ball out, staying on time, staying on schedule. But I think you have – it's the idea of instead of having a James Harden-led team – I don't even want to say James Harden. Instead of having the basketball, model of one superstar or two superstars on offense, the Texans are trying to use that old Detroit Pistons with, okay, well, let's have Rip Hamilton – and Chauncey, and Ben, and let's have as many players, Tayshaun Prince, as many good players as we can. That's what the offense is about now. Let's have Deshaun Watson as our star, and let's try to fill it up with good, not great. Because D-Hop is great. No one else out there is great other than Deshaun has a chance to be great at skill positions.
Right.
But it's like they're almost saying, well, you know what? We'd rather be solid.
Okay, so what is your measure of offense? My measure is points per game.
Mine is really more that can be flighty because you can hit 48 in a game and 17 in a game and it looks good, and it's not good. What I want to see is a consistent – mine would probably be a number – mine is going to be scoring differential is – that's a measure, I guess, not of the offense, but of the team.
Well, no, but I'm talking about offense.
I would say mine would be.
It's not yards.
I do think yards is more critical.
Really?
Yeah, because you can't get yards on defense.
I've asked plenty of coaches. But you can get points. It's about points.
But you can get points on defense. and they count for your offense.
Yeah, but very few. I mean, if you if you do, but it's
you really hard. You really want to know what I think? I think there are. I think that's too simple to just say what's it about. Is it points? To me, it's about third down conversions. There's certain metrics that usually dictate winners.
But
third down conversions.
But you have to have some standard. I mean, what are you going to go?
Your standards have to be touchdowns instead of field goals. That's your standard.
Well, obviously, you'll score more points. For example, last year, the leader in points was the Ravens. They had a really good offense. San Francisco had a really good offense. New Orleans, Tampa,
well,
Chiefs.
They all had a
those
bunch
are
of,
all. They scored a lot of points.
They had a bunch of yards, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
They all they had did. A bunch of yards.
But
Tampa's points and yards were irrelevant to me. I mean, because you turned it over a ton.
Well, the Cowboys led in yards. It led in yards.
Your offense, that's a great example of who cares what your offensive, how is your team? Who cares about your offense?
No, but you can't, but okay.
You know
but
what
I
mean?
We're talking about judging
the
offense.
Tampa Bay.
To me, well, you have to have some kind of standard. Let's say it's points per game. Last year, the Texans were 23.6. Will they score more points per game this year? And I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say they're going to finish higher in the league.
Then they'll finish higher, and I think they'll finish lower in wins. So what difference does it make?
Well, don't blame it on the offense. Well, we're talking about if the offense is any better.
The offense is better based on what we see on the field. It doesn't always measure in – sometimes it doesn't measure in yards. It measures in, did you get that first down when you needed to? Did you eat up the clock? Did you convert instead of field goals? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I get the argument about points. I just think that's simple, like batting average.
Well, but otherwise, how are you gonna? There's
well,
no
third down conversions is a
question
winning
is will
stat.
They be a better offense? And I think they're going to be a better offense. Yes,
I think they'll be more consistent potentially. Yeah, which is what you shoot for. You shoot for more consistency, but it doesn't matter if you end up kicking field goals instead of getting touchdowns.
Well, right, the better offense will score more touchdowns. To me, that's a big measure. If you're just kicking field goals, yes, that's a big measure whether or not you're a better offense. No, if they're kicking more field goals, they're not a better offense. That's not, and that will reflect in points per game.
Yeah, but if you're punting less, you're kicking field goals more, you may score more. But I mean, if they want to. I hate these.
Well, I can tell you this. Their defense isn't going to put them in a position to all season long where they're going to have a short field.
I can just tell you, this is the way I look at things. And I'm never going to look at things any differently than this. I've learned that this is the only way to look at it. You look at rosters based on if your roster is being built for a championship. Not if you're going to be some slap nuts team that wins 9 games and slaps together a division championship where you know you can't win in the playoffs. I don't care about that, whether it's the Rockets or the Astros or Texans. You should be building for a championship team. If you're not building towards a championship team, it's no good. If your offense, if you're telling me, or defense, or your team is building to, what I want to know, are you doing the thing that championship teams do, which is win turnover battles, low penalty a lot of times, low penalty numbers, and are you converting at a high
and
percentage
and ball.
Stopping third down? Are you winning third down?
Yeah, and that will reflect, though, in the long run, in more points because you'll be on the field more. In more yards, and your defense is on the field less. Yes, absolutely. I think those are all good. All good. And you ask a coach, a lot of coaches will say turnovers.
Turnovers is
a lot, but a lot. Some say, I don't give a rat's ass about turnovers. Are we scoring points? That's what I want to know. Are we scoring points and third down conversions?
Third down conversions is huge on both sides. And I would say off the top of my head that they were one of the worst third down conversion defenses in the league last year.
I don't know that. We can look that up. We can also talk about, we've been talking about hoops, and your kids are watching, and everybody's watching the Rockets, and everybody's excited. But everybody's, not necessarily about the Rockets, but they're excited about basketball. It's the playoffs, and it's time, and your kids want to play, and they go, Daddy, we want a goal. Daddy, can you get us a goal? And then you staple a backboard to your garage, and that's like, what? Dad, I can't have any fun. I'm 4'1". How am I supposed to make a basket? I can't. Hey, Dad, how about lowering that goal for me? Well, I can't because it's stapled to the ground. How about getting a hoops goal? All right, you can lower and raise the basket. It's tempered glass backboard. It's unrustable stanchion. It's unbreakable rim. It's the best. It is the best goal in the history of goals. So if you're looking for the best way to get that goal, you go to ProDunkHoops.com. They've got all the accessories as well. You are going to love ProDunkHoops.com. You're going to love it. And go to the website, and you can see, and the installation second to none, the service second to none, ProDunkHoops.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.